News of the Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. And that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The good news of the gospel. Praise to you, O Christ. You can be seated. Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a Merry Christmas. It's really good to be worshiping with you today. My wife and my daughter and me are headed out tomorrow morning early to go drive and meet my parents and my sisters and my two nieces to celebrate Christmas together. And I'm really excited about it. I'm especially excited this year to see them because I didn't get to see them last year because of COVID. When we planned this trip together, I was kind of at a place of feeling really hopeful about the pandemic. I thought that we were kind of coming out of this time of COVID-19 finally. I thought that things were looking up. But then, as you all know, Omicron started happening. And now we aren't sure where this whole thing is going or what exactly will happen. And honestly, most of us are just so tired of dealing with the pandemic and all the stuff that goes along with it. It feels, at least for me, a little bit like my hope was kind of stolen because of this thing. One of the things about Christmas is that there's kind of this culture around Christmas that says it's almost like supposed to be, or feels like it's supposed to be, this joyful, hopeful time. But if we're honest, if we come to it this year, some of us don't feel all that hopeful or joyful this year. Some of you are coming to Christmas and you don't feel that sense of joy because of the coronavirus or something else. Some of us have lost people we love, and Christmas and the holidays remind us of those people. The holiday makes us miss them even more than we might normally miss them. There are others of us who have family dynamics that actually make Christmas a challenging time. For some of us, Christmas is more of a thing to sort of get through than a thing to enjoy. And others of us have just had a hard year, and we don't feel like we have a whole lot to celebrate this year. Well, our gospel reading from today is about two people who can teach us how to have hope. They can teach us what hope actually looks like in the midst of difficulty. So this is what's happening in this gospel passage from Luke. Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, take Jesus to the temple to present Jesus to God. And then Mary and Joseph worship God by offering a sacrifice in the temple. So this was part of Jewish religious tradition for new parents. One of the things that we learn about Mary and Joseph in this passage is that they weren't wealthy people. They were probably lower income. And we know that because they used two pigeons for their sacrifice when they came to worship God. According to Jewish law in Leviticus, new parents brought a sheep to sacrifice to worship God. But sheep were expensive, so if you couldn't afford a sheep, you could offer two pigeons instead. So we learn a little bit about Jesus' family in this passage. Anyway, Mary and Joseph take Jesus and they worship God in the temple. And while they're in the temple, they meet these two people named Anna and Simeon. Both of these people, both Anna and Simeon, are older, and they're both waiting on the Messiah. They're both waiting on Jesus to come. In verse 25 of Luke 2, it says that Simeon is waiting on the consolation of Israel. Some Bible translations translate that word consolation as comfort. The comfort of Israel, or the consolation of Israel, is one of the titles that people had for the Messiah. And that's based on passages like Isaiah chapter 61. And it's a pretty familiar passage to some of us. So the first two verses say this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn." If you've been around church very much, you probably know that Christians call Jesus Lord, and we call Jesus Savior. But one of Jesus' other titles is that he is our comforter. Jesus brings good news to people experiencing oppression. Jesus brings healing to the brokenhearted, and he brings comfort to those who are in mourning. That's who Simeon is waiting on. Mary and Joseph, while they're in the temple, they also meet Anna. And it says that Anna is waiting on the redemption of Jerusalem. She's waiting on her people and her city to be liberated and redeemed from oppression. And she sees what she's waiting for in Jesus. So Simeon and Anna are these people who are waiting with hope for Jesus to come. They're waiting on the comfort of Israel. They're waiting on redemption from oppression. They're waiting on the one who brings comfort to those who are mourning. Some of you might be coming to Christmas this year, and you might be able to relate to Simeon and Anna. You might not feel all that joyful this year, and you might be waiting or feel like you need the comfort and redemption that Jesus can bring. If that's you this year, please know that there is space for you in the Christmas story. This story isn't just about joy and peace, even though it is very much about those things. The Christmas story is also about people who are waiting and longing for comfort and redemption. And if you're coming to Christmas this year and you're feeling weary or you're feeling tired, remember Mary, who was pregnant and was forced to go on a long journey on a donkey and then give birth in a barn with dirty farm animals. If you're feeling desperate, remember Israel was also desperate, and they were longing for an end to the Roman occupation. If you're at a place this year of wondering if God will ever show up, remember that there were also lots of people in Judea who must have wondered if God would ever show up for them. If you're feeling afraid, remember that the people living in Jerusalem were also probably afraid because they knew about King Herod's rage and what it could do. So this year, if you're longing for a sense of comfort, or if you don't feel a sense of fulfillment in life, remember that Simeon was also waiting on the comfort of Israel so that he could feel that his life was fulfilled and complete. You don't have to be anything different than what you are this Christmas. God comes to us as we are. So here's the thing that stands out to me about Simeon and Anna. They were people who lived with hope. And because they lived with hope, they knew how to recognize Jesus when he came Whenever Mary, Joseph, and Jesus showed up at the temple, they knew who he was. There are many of us who think of hope as this feeling, right? We think of it as this feeling of possibility and of optimism. We think of hope basically as an emotion. But that's not actually what hope is. In the New Testament, the word hope literally means looking forward to something with confidence that it will happen. So hope is this confident expectation. Hope isn't a feeling. Hope is our confidence in God. Hope is our gritty, persevering, determined belief that God is faithful and that God is with us and that God keeps God's promises. Hope is a persevering belief that God is at work even when it might not be that obvious. So hope isn't an emotion. Hope is something that we practice. And hope is something that Anna and Simeon were both good at practicing. They were like lifelong practitioners of hope. And I believe that helped them to recognize Jesus as soon as they met him. So this is the message of Christmas. Even when it's dark and even when it's hard to see it, God is with us and God is at work. Death and brokenness and injustice and the Omicron variant and loneliness are all real. But Jesus' birth at Christmas means that God is with us and God is at work, even in the dark. So if you're feeling lonely this Christmas and you're missing people you love, or if you're feeling discouraged, or if you're just having a difficult Christmas this year, then know that God is with you. And know that Jesus is our comforter, and know that God is at work. I also want to challenge you and kind of challenge myself to become practitioners of hope like Anna and Simeon. And I don't know what that means for you. That it might mean that you pause at the end of your day or the end of your week to sort of notice where you've seen God at work. It might mean that you notice where you've seen God present in your life. Or maybe it means that you speak out or you act for a cause that's bigger than you, or you're generous toward a cause that's bigger than you and that you know God cares about. Or maybe you make it a practice to pause and pay attention to what you're thankful for from your day or from your week. I don't know what practicing hope looks like for you, but let's become people who practice hope. Let's become doers of hope. If we fast forward in the story of Jesus is crucified. And on the cross, it looks like hope and love die. But through the resurrected power of Jesus, love and hope are victorious, and brokenness and darkness are undone. And death is no more. And so because Jesus came at Christmas, we can become people who practice hope, because we know the end of the story and we know that love and hope win. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that you would show us your hope, Lord. You would give us that sense of your victory on the cross and that we would know you with us this Christmas. Teach us how to become practitioners of hope. In Jesus' name, amen.